I wonder what you're hoping for. I wonder what you're looking forward to. I wonder if you're looking forward to Christmas coming. I wonder if you're looking forward to seeing the family. And I wonder if you're looking forward to presents. There's quite a few children here tonight. I reckon you're looking forward to presents. Are you looking forward to presents? Yeah. I wonder if some of you are looking forward beyond Christmas, maybe to see some friends and family at other times through the next sort of week or so. Maybe you're looking forward to Christmas being over and the house will be quiet again. You can hoover up for the last time for this year. And everything will kind of go back to normal. The children will go back to school, all those kind of things. What are you hoping for? Short term, medium term, long term? Maybe you're looking forward to growing up if you're a child. Maybe you're looking forward to going to big school. Maybe you're looking forward to going to even bigger school that we call university or college. Maybe you're looking forward to leaving home, being independent, getting married, getting a new car, a new job, a new house, a new baby. Maybe you're looking forward to being well again because you've been ill for quite a long time. Maybe you're looking forward to seeing new friends over Christmas or in the new year. Maybe you're looking forward to retiring and all that you hope to do then. Maybe you're looking forward to going on that holiday or that cruise of a lifetime that you've looked forward to and you planned. Maybe you're looking forward to your inheritance because you know you're going to inherit quite a bit from some relative, your parents or something like that, and you're just waiting for that to happen. Maybe you're just looking forward to having enough money to just get by and relax a bit. Maybe you're just looking forward to being happy. Maybe you're looking forward to achieving some personal goal in life, in work, in your family, to achieve something, to achieve the equivalent of a medal, even if you're not a great runner or an athlete or a football player. And what if those hopes are fulfilled? Is that it? Is that enough? You get the girl, you get the guy, you get the house, you get the holiday, you get the trophy. Is that enough? Psychologists have looked into this, and they found that when people achieve their goals, they very quickly readjust and become immediately, or very soon after, sorry, unsatisfied. There's actually a name for it. It's called arrival fallacy. The fallacy of arrival, arrival fallacy. The mistake of thinking that you can arrive and you'll be satisfied when you arrive somewhere. And you know what's worse? That the more things you achieve, the less they actually satisfy. And it's like this, the more goals you achieve, or the more times you achieve a particular goal, you know, you win Wimbledon sort of one time after another, what happens is that the sense of achievement, that kind of moment of enjoying it, gets shorter and shorter. There was a great guy called Robert Louis Stevenson. He's one of those really cool guys, a bit like Michelangelo. You don't get people like this these days. You get kind of inventy, science-y kind of people, and then you get sort of arty kind of people. But you don't often get sort of one who's both of them. You get kind of nerdy people who are in computer programming companies and sort of invent stuff. But that kind of artistry, probably maybe Steve Jobs was one of those people that kind of combined those things. But Robert Louis Stevenson, he wrote books, but he also was an inventor too. But he had something really interesting to say. You would have thought successful writer, successful inventor, he'd be pretty happy. There's a great quote from him. He says, "To travel hopefully is a better thing than to arrive." To travel hopefully is a better thing than to arrive. One way of solving the problem is you set your expectations really low. You don't really expect to achieve very much, so you don't achieve very much, and so you don't really have that moment of the buzz and then that moment of the down afterwards. That's a way, I guess. You just stop hoping. I was reading an article recently, and that was suggesting that you set beautiful goals, the things you really want. So you value things like family and in-the-moment mindfulness and sort of experiences and standing on a mountaintop or snowboarding down a hillside or whatever experience you want to go through. And you kind of value those and you just kind of enter into them and just enjoy them. But does that really work? You know, you meditate, you try and value sort of basic things, but still there's this aching. I want to introduce you tonight to a woman with hope. A woman with great hope, in a way, a woman with agonizing hope, but a woman who, when her hopes were actually realized, she was well satisfied and she was happy for the rest of her life because she found the Savior. First of all, hope waits. In our text we just read, we're introduced to a lady called Anna. And Anna was a prophet, which actually was quite a rare thing at that time in Israel, someone who spoke the word of God. Pretty much God had been silent since the book of Malachi, which is 400 years before Jesus comes along. She's also a genuine Israelite, we're given her family line. And she used to be married. You can imagine her getting married, perhaps, and starting with great expectations on the wedding day and thinking of living together and building a family and building a life. But her marriage lasts just 7 years, and her husband dies, and she's a widow. And she's a widow for a long time. She's described as being very old. Either she's 84 years old. Now, I know some of you are beyond 84, but in most terms, 84 is old. But possibly she was a widow for 84 years. So she was very, very old. But for all that time of being a widow, she spent her life worshipping, fasting, praying, dedicated, focused on the presence of God. She was in the temple. The temple was the place where God's people, before Jesus came along, God's people there met with God. There were sacrifices and things that you had to do there, but it was the place where God was especially present. So she wanted to be there in and out of the temple courts where she was allowed to go. And she fasted to say she's really serious. She stopped eating food to say that she's really serious about her praying. And she kept praying. And no doubt she was praying, looking forward to God fulfilling a promise. And the promise was that God would send a king and that God would send a savior. And you imagine her for, let's say, this 84 years, longing, hoping, praying, fasting in and out of the temple, wondering, is it going to happen in my lifetime? I've prayed and I've fasted and year by year has gone by and nothing has happened. What am I doing here? I'm so hoping and looking forward, but nothing's happened. And in a way, she's kind of like Israel, the nation of Israel. And in a way, she's kind of like the whole of creation, particularly humanity that's waiting, that doesn't have a bride. She's a widow. She isn't fulfilled, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And it's barren, it's lonely. Hope waits. But then we see hope sees. One day, everything changed for her. Everything changed for her because everything changed for us. It's the eighth day since Jesus has been born. Joseph and Mary bring the baby Jesus to Jerusalem, and there he is dedicated in accordance with the law for the people of Israel, for Jewish people. And she arrives back in the temple, Anna, just at a perfect time, because this guy, Simeon, is holding the baby up in his arms, we read it, and he's praising God because he's saying, this is the promised Messiah, this is the promised King. He knows the Savior's come. He knows the king has come, the promised king. And now Anna immediately knows. She really knows. It's actually happened. All the waiting, all the hoping, all the pleading, all the fasting, all the praying, all the desperate cries, Lord, when are you going to do it? And it's happened. Can you just imagine how she felt? You know, she's an 84-year-old. She probably can't sort of dance around and stuff. But I know some of you 87-year-olds can still dance. But she must have been so excited. Wouldn't you be? You know, every day. I don't think many of you have waited 84 years for anything. I have trouble waiting 84 seconds for anything to happen, don't you? But But it's happened. God's promised king's arrived. Hope sees. Thirdly, hope tells. The Jewish leaders weren't ready to receive the king. It's really interesting that in the temple, the person who receives and seems to recognize and hold up the baby is Simeon, not one of the official people, as it were. But some people were waiting for the Messiah. One of them was Simeon, another one was Anna, but it seems like there were other people too who were waiting for the coming of God's promised king. And Anna tells that group, and she speaks to what's described as all of those who are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And it sounds in the way that the language is used that she spoke to them and she kept on speaking to them. She kept on telling them. She was so excited, it kind of bubbled and burst out of her day after day. She's so happy to receive the news. She wants to share it and share it again. And her life becomes much less about hope and much more about joy and fulfillment. There's the Savior that's been promised to Eve, as in Adam and Eve, in the book of Genesis. There's the Savior who's the promised seed of Abraham. There's the Savior who's the eternal son of David, who would establish a throne forever. There's the Emmanuel, God with us, that Isaiah had spoken about 600-700 years before Jesus comes. There's the child who would bring a light into a dark place. There's the child born of a virgin. There is the one who will be the suffering servant, the one who will actually die in place of his people in order to rescue his people. There's the one who would be wounded for our transgressions, our mistakes, our faults, our sins. There's the Messiah who would come to his temple and actually here as a baby is coming to his temple. It's prophesied by Malachi 400 years, that 400 years of silence. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, says he's going to come to his temple, the Lord's going to come. And here he is, the baby, he's come to his temple. So like the angels, and like the shepherds, Anna wants to share the good news. Last thing, really the last thing. Hope realized. Well, it's obvious hope was realized for Anna and for Simeon. But what are you actually hoping for? And where are you going to find it? I have to tell you this evening that if you hope for anything other than the Christ, it'll only give you momentary satisfaction, short-term satisfaction. It won't last. It probably won't satisfy even in the moment, but certainly it won't last. Everyone needs something that will last, something outside of themselves, something that they can hope for and receive, and it will actually be better than every medal, every trophy, every achievement, every moment of satisfaction that you'd ever had. Because for all of us, there's a hunger, there's an emptiness. And sometimes we disguise that well. Sometimes we entertain ourselves between now and death. We fill up our lives with all kinds of things, but it's all just trying to get rid of that hunger, that wanting. And depending on our culture and upbringing, we might try and fill that in seeking pleasure and seeking relationships and being with lots of people or having lots of experiences or having lots of money or having lots of possessions. We're all the time filling and filling and filling and trying to just satisfy this appetite, this hunger, this hope. But you won't fill it up if you haven't got Christ. And the reason we always feel unsatisfied is because we are made, we are built, We are designed to know God as our Father and our friend. And yet that relationship has been broken by Adam and Eve's failure, but by our failure too. By our failure to live up to God's standards, but also to live up to our own standards. We know that, and we feel the burden of that guilt. And we want that taken away, and we want the barrier between us and God to be removed. But we don't have a clue. We can't fathom how to break through that barrier. And what Anna and Simeon realized, and what eventually the disciples who followed Jesus realized, was that that barrier is broken when Jesus dies on the cross, fulfilling all the expectations of the coming Messiah. He lived the life that we didn't live. He died the death that we deserved to die. He conquered death. He defeats all the accusations against us. So he'll save us by his dying, and he'll prove his worth by coming to life again. And all your hopes can be fulfilled when you find him, when you recognize him, when you put your trust in him. And I invite you this evening to do that. Like Simeon, like Anna, recognize, worship, trust, and be happy. Just one thing to say, particularly for those of us who are Christians here, what are you doing while you wait? When you become a Christian, you realize that your hopes are fulfilled in Christ. Your hunger is satisfied in Christ. And you realize that the Savior has come. And that is enough for now. But we also are waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come back again. Because you're not a Christian very long before you realize that life's still quite a battle, quite a struggle. And everything isn't great, even though you're satisfied in Christ. Sometimes life is hard. You do bad things. Other people do bad things to you. The world is still broken. But you wait for Jesus to come back, for everything to be set right, for all tears to end. How are you going to spend your time waiting? Fulfilled, satisfied, joyful, but also waiting. Be like Anna, worshiping, spending time in the presence of God, praying, your kingdom come. We don't pray for the Messiah to come because he's come already, but we pray as Christians, your kingdom come, Lord, please send your power, send the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts and lives. Send him into my life. May your kingdom come in my life. Get rid of that sin. Get rid of those things that I long for that are not God. Work in me. Work in this world. You're going to be like that, waiting, praying, hoping, desperately pleading with God. And you're going to be like Anna, in encouraging the people of God. She got a band of people around her who are waiting, and she encouraged them with the news. Are you like that as a Christian? You're going to be like that this Christmas? Be like Anna. Worshipping, praying, waiting. Tell everyone about the King. You can. You must. He brings light, he brings life, he brings joy, he brings satisfaction. He fulfills our deepest hope. Know that for yourself this evening. Trust him and follow him.